Next, David continues his discussion of the world being perfect just as it is. He will also open a discussion of the roles of spiritual teachers in our walk, an important issue he will come back to later in this session.
To know whether the world is perfect as it is, you would have to know the purpose of the world, wouldn't you? And so you couldn't say one way or another. So you can't really make a moralistic condemnation about anything in the world unless you're aware of what the purpose is. If the purpose of this world was eternal peace, we would have eternal peace. Man's been at war 93% of the time. I think peace is an abnormal condition. He probably falls behind the evolutionary scale. The only reason they have peace 7% of the time is because man is busy dying of the plague, Katrina, hurricanes. I mean, they got other things to do than make war. They're all too sick. If they were able, it'd be 100% of their time. They're losing, folks. You better get with it. So the teacher, I think, should just tell you who they are, what their purpose is, and where to look for the knowledge, and where it came from. Moral and ethical conduct with students, a lot of those fallen gurus, it's all over the internet, so I guess it's not a secret, fell on that. You explain the teachings and make them available. So there's no secrets. Some will take you in and teach you the ancient mystical secrets. The ancient secret mysteries, calibrate about 160 or something. I know people giving up their life for ancient secret mysteries. They calibrate at 160. Give me a break. That which is sold for a price, then. Truth is free and available. So the teacher teaches out of sharing, and he precludes dependency. We see autonomous study groups. AA is the great leader in that. Probably the most powerful spiritual, or purely spiritual organization in the world today, purely spiritual, is the 12-step group. First of all, it's pure spirituality, which is very rare. And it pervades our whole society, and it uplifts the overall consciousness of mankind. All right, so you want to make all the teachings available, explain them. You don't want the people becoming dependent. You want to start autonomous study groups. And you have to be yourself, a teacher, grateful for the knowledge, humble of the knowledge, because it's a given. The only work the student does is the endeavor that it takes to remove the blocks. What happens after that is like removing the clouds from the sky. So you could take credit maybe for removing clouds, but you really cannot take credit for the radiance of the sun. And those who do fall, they say, you can see, they started out here and then the calibration fell. So the spiritual ego then is the undoing. Therefore, a teacher has to teach you about the spiritual ego, and that's why I speak of it. And each level has its traps, and I've tried to share the traps of that particular level. The 400s, where you become educated, the trap is intellectual narcissism. That's a term that came to me this week, and I said, by God, that's what it is. So humility means even intellectual humility, not just spiritual humility, but intellectual. And you can be very high IQ and very erudite and still be humble. You still be humble about it because it's a gift. You have to acknowledge the source of knowingness and forget about personal credit or acclaim and share the means of access to the truth. The only thing the intellect can do is process incoming information so that you become educated. So part of spiritual development is education, by which one arrives at wisdom through understanding, because there's the linear meaning of the word. But then as you reflect on it, so I believe in a contemplative lifestyle, you read a thing and it makes sense intellectually. But to comprehend the full meaning, you sort of have to meditate and contemplate it, hold it in mind, and it's like looking at something from all different angles. Then other more significant meanings are revealed just by holding it in mind and contemplating it. To be appreciative of all that lives, or all of existence, you see, is a noble ambition. But for it to become truthful to you, you hold it sort of in mind and make that a way of being in the world. And then the reality behind that reveals itself. Suddenly you see the innate and intrinsic perfection of all that exists. Everything is perfect because everything is already the fulfillment of its own existence.
What everything means is what it is. I look at this table here. What does this table mean? You could presume some abstraction and project it onto the table. What the table means is already complete and total by virtue of its existence. So isness, beingness, as the completion of potential and the perfection of creation, is something that dawns on you, and then you notice that everything in the world is perfect. This is a perfect crooked little old lady. This is a perfect dinning noise. This is a perfect whatever it is, see? A perfect worn-out old shoe, you know? Everything has reached its fulfillment of its potential at this moment of observation, and everything is complete and perfect. The fulfillment of its potential is its existence.